Hello, I am Joshua P. Warren, and this is Joshua P. Warren Daily. Well, I am still here in the Las Vegas area, and today I walked into a casino. I went up to the bar where they had some little machines on top of the bar. I bet 25 cents, that is one quarter, and I won $520. Now, if you do the math on that, that is an increase of over 200,000%, if I did my math correctly, to take one measly 25-cent piece, one quarter, and turn it into $520 like that. And I'm telling you this because that one of the reasons I'm here, as I said in my last podcast, is to experiment with different types of techniques that might allow one to use psychic phenomena or manipulate the force in some way in order to beat odds, in order to gain something positive, because that's really the whole purpose of having any type of sense or talent or ability. It is to be able to improve your life and the lives of those around you. And so I've gotten a bunch of emails sent to my last podcast from people saying, you mentioned you have this new technique that's winning in the casinos. Please share it with me. But here's what I can tell you. I'm not going to share it with you until I am ready, meaning that I have continued experimenting and probably when I'm far away from Vegas, because I don't want to get kicked out of any casino because they're like, oh, I heard this guy on his podcast. He's got a technique. Screw that. And, you know, kick me out of the casino. But no, I really am. I'm fascinated by the fact that I'm here doing these experiments, having great success. The new Star Wars movie is going to be coming out soon. And, of course, you know I wrote the book Use the Force, A Jedi's Guide to the Law of Attraction. So I'm thinking about combining all that and doing something really interesting where I kind of share what I've been learning and also some other wacky little experiments that I've been doing here in Nevada. But all this, you know, talking about money and the holidays and all that, it's funny because Lauren and I, we just went to the movies and saw this movie called The Man Who Created Christmas, which was a wonderful, especially for me being a writer, a wonderful exploration of what the process might have been like for Charles Dickens to come up with all these characters and scenarios that made their way into the most classic of all Christmas stories. And of course, I'm a huge fan of A Christmas Carol because, hey, it's all about ghosts and the paranormal and how those things can give us extra vision and insight into life. And I mean, it's just a wonderful, rich sort of experience to think about, you know, the past and the present and the future in terms of a spiritual realm and your role superficially and how important you really think you are when you're standing there on the precipice of your own grave and all that kind of thing. But for years, when I've done radio work, I have always taken a moment to just point out as a bit of trivia or just because that I find it an interesting part of history, the person that it appears Charles Dickens actually based the character of Ebenezer Scrooge upon. That was a man named John Elwes, who was 75 years old when he died. He died in the late 1700s. And I believe A Christmas Carol was published in 1843. So I doubt that Charles Dickens ever had an opportunity to meet Elwes. But Elwes gained some esteem because when he was a young man, I believe he served in Parliament for a little while. But his great wealth came from inheritance. When he was quite young, his father died. And best I recall, he and his mother got somewhere in the neighborhood of like 8 to 10 million pounds in today's money or something like that. So a nice chunk. And his mother was so tight that they say she literally starved herself to death at a fairly early age. So maybe he picked up some of these ideas about, you know, how to handle money. Of course he did, from parenting. And then as he got a little bit older, his uncle ended up dying and leaving him a second inheritance. So, you know, the guy had tons of money. In fact, I think I remember reading a story about John Ellis and his uncle before, well, obviously before his uncle died, getting together and having like big, long, gleeful evenings where they would talk about how foolish everybody was spending so much money. And in the meantime, they would share a glass of wine. They were too cheap, these two guys who were both millionaires, to even buy or pour themselves their own glass of wine. And then, of course, when John Ellis got older, I mean, he had this nice big mansion that he kept in disrepair. You know, he would go to bed at dark so he didn't have to worry about burning candles. He enjoyed or claimed that he enjoyed sleeping with rain dripping on top of him so that he didn't have to concern himself with preparing the house. There are so many stories. They say he would eat putrefied food that, you know, some little varmint would drag some bird out of the river, and he would eat that for his dinner, you know, if he were so lucky, rather than go out and buy something decent. And in fact, another story I remember about John Ellis is they say that because he was too cheap to properly light his way, one night he was coming home and he miscalculated the timing, and so it was dark, and he ended up cutting both of his legs accidentally because he ran into something. And so he went to the doctor, and as the doctor's trying to fix his legs, he's arguing with the doctor about the doctor charging too much and says, "I'll make a wager with you. This leg I will treat on my own, and this leg you treat, and you only charge me for one leg, but if my leg that I treated heals faster, then you will give me my money back." And the doctor rolled his eyes and said, "Okay, fine," and he took the gamble, and supposedly, indeed, the leg the doctor did not treat was the one that healed back the fastest. And so old John Ellis even got his money back for that one. They say that toward the end of his life, he became very paranoid, so much that he would lie there in bed and he would scream in the middle of the night as he was having nightmares, saying, "They're trying to rob me. They're trying to rob me. They're trying to take everything from me." And this guy, he lived on about 50 pounds a year, okay? 50 pounds a year, even though he had millions and millions and millions of pounds. And after he died, physicians said, "This guy actually was in pretty good health. He was just stressed constantly about somebody taking his money. And that's what was wrong with him." And if you really stop to think about that and consider that, that this is what will happen to you if you live your life consumed with how to quantify everything into a dollar or a pound or whatever, what you're doing is you're missing some of the greater joys of life. And what I've always thought and what I've always said is that money is first and foremost an energy, and that energy has to flow. And energy can only flow if it is not broken down and scrutinized and hammered into some type of limited pathway. You need to allow it to flow freely. Here's a little tip that I will give you right now that helps me anytime I go into a scenario where there is money involved, whether it's gambling or it's working on a business deal or it's selling a product or whatever. I find it valuable to carry with me a coin of foreign currency. The more foreign, the more exotic, the better. Something that to me doesn't even look like money. Like, for example, when I went to Romania, they have these little like plastic bills that looked even more fake than Monopoly money to me. And the great thing about having money from another culture that is very foreign and exotic is that you know that this is real, and you know that they value it in a real way, and they treat it the same way that you treat your money. And yet what this shows you is that there is nothing intrinsically valuable about this particular thing that you have in your hand. So what is money? Money is energy. Money equals energy. And having a piece of foreign currency, whether it's a bill or a coin or whatever, that you keep in your pocket and that you think about as a reminder for you that money is not about some specific tangible result that comes from this object, but instead is a reflection of relationships, of energy, of how you interact with other people, of how your mind is able to reach out and explore opportunities to do fun things for yourself and other people. I mean, these are the things that generate money. And so that's one little tip that I will definitely give you. You know, when it comes to the type of people who do really, really well, it's people often who actually do feel passionate about whatever they're doing. And sometimes they don't even have to like what they're doing. You can feel passionate about something and still not like it. I mean, for example, I would be very surprised if every person out there doing brain surgery likes doing brain surgery all the time. I'm sure that they feel passionate about it because it's an important thing. But I'm sure there are days when you're like, you know what, I'd rather not be doing brain surgery today. But you can apply that to anything that we have to do in life. And that's why I'm so proud of the fact that I have guides for the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours who have taken a blood oath to get out in all types of weather, regardless of the conditions, and follow through and give tours for guests. Because one thing that I learned years ago was that there are people who like to get out and take tours in bad weather. And I'm talking walking tours. And I don't blame them, because if you're taking something like a Haunted Asheville walking tour, when there's 3 feet of snow on the ground, which has happened many times, the city is in a state that is so rare. It's literally like a ghost town, and everything's very quiet and eerie, and the light reflects off of everything in a particular ghostly way. And it's just a really amazing time to trudge around the city of Asheville and feel like you have it to yourself and have this experience. And right now, here in Vegas, the weather is beautiful, it's clear, but this blizzard is sweeping across the eastern seaboard. And so right now, some places around Asheville, North Carolina, have over 2 feet of snow. And yet, we still have guests who are showing up for our ghost tours every night, large numbers of them, and they're having a blast. We have a picture, actually, at hauntedasheville.com from last year of a group of people from Florida, born and bred Floridians who were just tickled to death to be taking a walking tour in the snow in Asheville. So that said, I hope that you will, if you're interested in taking a ghost tour, just remember that we run all year long, regardless of weather, and I don't care if it comes a typhoon or an earthquake or whatever. We are going to be there, and I, you know, some of my guides, like Tad McDivitt, he drives all the way from Madison County. Brian Bloxham, he drives all the way from Henderson County. Those guys are troopers. They're unstoppable. They get out there, and they give 110% best tours, and they do it because they love what they do. And the people who show up realize they're getting a special experience. So that's another thing. I get a lot of people saying, surely the tour is canceled tonight with all this. No. The tour is not canceled. It is never canceled. That is my policy. So, all right. I could keep going on here. I have a lot of things happening, but I got to pace myself. Taking a lot of notes. I have a lot to share with you. It's all good. It's all fascinating. I'm making some big headway out here in my experiments. So I'm just delighted that you are interested in hearing what I have to say. Also, remember, I only have a few more days left. If you would like to take my online paranormal course for the discounted price, it usually costs $499. Take this course, but you can get it started right now. I mean, you can take the whole thing at your leisure, at your own pace, for $99. Only for the next few days. And I'm not joking about that. I'm not bluffing. After the next few days, because I put a 7-day window on it, that discount is over. You go there to warreninstitute.com. Once you hit the cart button, add your discount code of HOLIDAY100. HOLIDAY100. You get the whole shebang for $99. You'll love it. And those of you who are graduates are soon going to be receiving some special treatment from me. You'll like this. All right. I think that's it for tonight. Thank you, as usual. Thank you for being interested. Thank you for all of your support. Thank you for staying curious, and I will talk to you again soon.